Three things we could all use more of in 2023. Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 14, we have one of the more spectacular, traumatic, there we go, and dramatic things happen in Jesus' ministry. And then we have two things that follow that up that I feel like presents the three things that all of us could use more of in 2023. You know, sometimes if you're sitting down with an individual person, you can proclaim, you don't got this, you need to start this. But when you're dealing on a crowd situation, I don't know where you're at in these three areas. So I feel like if we just take the approach, yeah, we may have some of this, but there's always room for improvement. And we can take lessons from these three experiences in Mark chapter 9, 14 through 41. If you look back in my notes several weeks ago now, I actually was led to this passage. What I thought at that time was for the first Sunday in January. That didn't happen. And so I believe that this message is for today. Would you please stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word, Mark chapter 9, 14 through 41. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. He had a reputation at this point. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Now, you understand when the King James uses the word dumb, that's not any sort of an insult. It's not a cut down. It means that he lost his hearing. He lost his ability to speak. And way back in the day, we would use this term. It's rendered it politically incorrect, and that's fine. That's fine, but I want you to know this isn't the King James being hateful, okay? He's trying to describe using a word that used to fit this situation. Look at verse 18. "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away." In other words, he's losing weight. He's dying. "And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" He was talking to his disciples as well. "How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. When he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him," because he knew who he was in the presence of. "And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now, please, church, hear me. This wasn't perhaps what you thought it was going to be at the beginning when Jesus said, "What are you asking my disciples?" Because the Pharisees and scribes were always trying to trick Jesus and to trick the disciples. But instead, this is a concerned father beyond words. He's dying inside because he's watching his son slowly die. Now look at verse 23. "Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears," because it's just overwhelmed him, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And what the most accurate prayer a person could ever pray. He was saying, "Lord, I do believe. I've seen enough. I've heard enough. I believe. But Lord, I'm human. I'm struggling with believing. Will you help my unbelief? Meet me where I'm at." Verse 25. "When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead." Now again, we've got to put ourselves in this situation. I want us to go to Lonedale just for a moment, and I want us to visualize the people that the news stations go to and put on camera to represent us. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying this is what was going on. These people were there in their full personality, and they saw that dude, you know, writhe in anguish and pain, and all of a sudden now he's still. His eyes are closed. It doesn't look like he's breathing. What do they say? He dead. That dude is stone cold dead. And Jesus, hearing that, look at verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Church, nobody stays dead that Jesus proclaims is alive. If Jesus proclaims you alive, you're alive. Look at verse, what is it, 29 now? 28, thank you. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. And all of what we just read is going to be point number one. Point number two here in verse 30. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any should know it, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. That's going to be part number two. Verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be the first, the same shall be the last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And I apologize to you that now we're starting point three. Here we go. And John answered, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him, because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Let's pray. Lord, you've heard every word that's been said. This is your word. Your word, the Bible says, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can divide the marrow and the bone. I'm asking for it to do its work today. Lord, correct us where we need to be corrected. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. Empower us where we need to be empowered. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Three things we could all use more of in 2023. Point number one, just very simply, this is dealing with the illustration, the drama of this child who has been possessed by an evil spirit. This is a fallen angel. This is a demon. And we don't have time and are not going to take the time to get into all the nuances of demonology and what that still does with us today. If you need help in that area, you call me and we'll set up a time. I'm not saying I won't say these things publicly. I'm telling you this is not the service or message for that. With that said, though, there is absolutely a lesson for us to learn, because at center here are three areas of discipline. So point number one is simply put, discipline, specifically in the area of prayer and fasting coupled with faith. The first subpoint under point number one is the need was desperate. The need was desperate. Church, does that not relate to the hour that we are in right now in the United States of America? In the world, the need is desperate. I mean, just in the United States, we could list for the next hour or two all of the social ills of our day, the financial woes that are coming to our nation, the political disarray that our nation is in. And that's not counting all of the third world issues that we have in our world. That's not counting the wars and rumors of war between China and Taiwan and Russia and Ukraine, and fill in the blank. We are at a desperate need in our world's existence. We should not have to be convinced to be disciplined. We should see the need and respond with discipline in these areas. This father was completely helpless. I can't speak for this man, but I'm telling you, this man, if I'm not careful, when someone says, you need anything? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Anybody else live in Missouri? Yeah. When we try to help each other, thank you. Thank you. And if we're not careful, we say, I'm good. This is the show me state. I'm good. I'm independent. No, you're not. No man is an island to himself. Church, we all need help. And amens rang throughout the building. And our world is in desperate need. And we need to respond to that need. This man came to him completely helpless. B, the enemy was resolute. The enemy was not going to stop until this child was dead. Now, I left one issue out with what we normally put with dumb, blind, deaf, and mute. Why was he falling into water? He couldn't see. Why was he falling into fire pits? He couldn't see. He couldn't hear the crackle of the fire. He couldn't speak and ask anyone, am I okay? No. And so this demonic spirit kept putting him in peril. So, I mean, let's face it. Mom and dad's got to constantly be watching because their son could die because of what this demon is doing to them. Church, our world, it is in many cases to no fault of their own other than the fact that they're a sinner and their eyes are blinded. Their ears are deaf. Their tongue is mute to cry for help, but yet their actions is what we hear. Their actions is what we see. They need our deliverance. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I firmly believe that a demonic spirit cannot possess a saved individual. But I also believe that a demonic spirit, with the permission of the host, can so allow jurisdiction to be claimed by that demonic spirit that it appears to be possession. And we call that oppression. And certainly a lost individual can be possessed of the devil. And it is a desperate thing. Now watch this. For how many years now? Hundreds. The church has kind of, it's a little too messy for us. No, church, listen to me. The answer to a demonically possessed person is salvation. And amens rang throughout the building. You got to win that person to Jesus. You may have to do some things that you've never done before from the standpoint of praying and fasting. We're going to get to that. And from the standpoint of applying God's word to that situation. But we should not back up from the devil. We should not back up from the devil. We should stand firm and not give ground. The enemy was resolute. Third subpoint, the answer is God. The answer to this young man's need is Jesus, the Son of God. The answer to yours and my need is Jesus, the Son of God. The answer to our world's need is Jesus, the Son of God. And that's what Jesus brought to this young man. D, the vehicle for God's glory is us. Jesus is no longer walking this earth except through you and I. We're it. We're going to talk about this a little bit more. But one fellow of the Baptist Missionary Association trying to fight the associational pride that we had fallen into several years ago said, well, if we're all God's got, he ain't got much. Amen. Now, I think that is a good, humble way to look at it, but we also need to understand we are all God has to reach this world for himself, and through him, we're enough. Through him, we can do what he's called us to do. We must be disciplined through prayer and fasting to have faith, the faith, to tackle our world's problems. Next subpoint, he will move for us, but we have to be in the center of his will. You and I, to face the problems of our world, we've got to get absolutely through discipline in the center of God's will, and then we're going to be able to do and accomplish what God has called us to do. So, let's dive in just for a moment. In prayer. Let's dive in prayer. Now, these are statements that have come to me. These are mottos, if you will, that I've heard throughout the years. These are the lessons that God has used to train me. And I'm not telling you I'm done. I'm telling you I am a student in the world of prayer. The first one is very well ballyhooed from this pulpit through the years. All failures are prayer failures. I'm immediately taken back to the Jerry Falwell message at the Real Evangelism Conference at First Baptist Arnold, where I heard from his own mouth these words: all failures are prayer failures. You may or may not be aware of Jerry Falwell's ministry. Jerry's been in heaven for several years now, but he built one of the largest churches known to man, and I say he, God did it through him, and Thomas Rhodes Baptist Church. You've heard of Liberty University, and yes, they've fallen on hard times with their most recent leader, Jerry Falwell Jr. I'm begging you not to lay at God's feet the failure of a fleshly person. And all of us could be put in that moniker. With that said, Liberty is still putting out champions for Christ. As best I know, Thomas Rhodes Baptist Church is still preaching the gospel. But you won't hear that on CNN. You won't hear that on an evening newscast. But this is what you need to know. Jerry Falwell was a young preaching student. He wanted to be used for God's glory. Truly, he was a nobody. It's hard to say that for one of the most famous preachers known to man now. And he went to the independent Baptist school in Springfield, Missouri. And there at High Street. There we go. Memory is a beautiful thing when it kicks in. High Street Baptist Church. He went there and they had the strongest growing Sunday school ministry, again, known to man at that time. There was a Sunday school superintendent that was a hard nose. He expected you to teach your Sunday school class, and for them, Sunday school was an evangelistic outreach, and he expected you to double your class in no time. And then he'll give somebody else that double, and it'll just keep growing. And they were reaching Springfield with the gospel of Christ. And he came to Jerry and said, "Jerry, I've been told by someone that you can handle this. I want you to take the fifth grade boys." They had so many Sunday school classes that they had a Sunday school for both genders, all grades. They were knocking it out of the park. And Jerry said, "I'll do it." He took that class of three and whittled it down to one in about 3 months. The Sunday school director came and took the book away from him and said, "I knew you didn't have it in you." Now, that's not how to win people and influence people, is it? But he knew what he was doing. Jerry said, "Give me one more chance." And the guy kind of smiled and gave it back to him. Jerry asked because he was a dorm student at the male dorm there at the school that I already told you about. He said, "Are there any rooms that no one is in? I want an empty room from 12 till 5. Because he had classes from 8 till 11. And the guy said, "Yes, room so-and-so." He said, "Can I have it? It's yours." He took the names of those boys and every fifth grade friend that those boys had, and he prayed from 12 p.m. lunchtime till 5 p.m. dinner time every day, Monday through Friday. Within 3 months, they had some 20 to 30 people coming, plus parents. They were getting saved almost every week. And that was the start. And out of that came this truth: all failures are prayer failures. And church, I'm begging you, if we will buy into this, and if we will put this to work. Now, there are some things that it's not going to be you leveraging God. There are some things prayer is going to get you where you need to be to accept what God is doing. But then there's other areas where God's just waiting on you to ask him to do it. The scripture says in the Old Testament that he's searching to and fro, looking for someone that'll ask him to move on their behalf for his name's sake. All failures are prayer failures. I asked myself, "Lord, why aren't we baptizing every Sunday?" I believe that is within, if you will, our ability. All failures are prayer failures. We must put this in action. Prayer can do anything God can do. You are only what you are on your knees before God. The church of God marches on their knees. Now, folks, that's symbolically. Some of us don't get on your knees, have a seat. But it sounds so much better. The church of God marches on their knees than their rear end. Sounds so much better. Thank you for laughing. That was an attempt at humor. Here's the point. It doesn't matter the position, church. It matters the position of your heart. What are we asking God to do for us? And how are we asking Him? How about this one from S.M. Lockridge? Prayerlessness declares your independence from God. Prayer declares your dependence upon God. We pray to have faith so that one day we will pray because we have faith. Ben Kingston. Yeah, I came up with that all myself. That probably won't get into other people's sermons, and that's okay. But if you'll listen to it, we pray to have faith so that one day we will pray because we have faith. Help mine unbelief, the Father said. Help mine unbelief. So fasting. Now, I know what you're thinking. Lord, help, Brother Ben. You're probably the last person that needs to talk about fasting. And you're right. Doesn't mean, though, that I still shouldn't talk about fasting. You know what people say these days? Brother Ben, you're losing weight. I say, no, I'm sucking in. I promise you, I'm sucking in. Now, with that said, fasting is absolutely needed in our churches today. Fasting is needed in our Christians' lives today. You may be like me in that diabetically, fasting is not necessarily in your physical best interest. Watch this. This is my humble opinion. Fasting at the end of the day, you are giving up something to make time for God's audience. Some of us need to fast from, you know, those things, the things that we carry in our pockets. Some of us need to fast from secular music. Maybe you need to fast from Christian music just for long enough to, for God to get your attention. You know what I discovered many years ago now? In fact, I was living by myself in the trailer on Riverbend Road. I found that I would turn on the radio just so that I could stay with right here. Because when it was silent, God had a channel. And so sometimes God just wants you to unplug from everything just so it can be you and Him. And at first you think that, oh, He's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. That is a complete selfish misunderstanding about what God wants to do with you. He wants to spend time with you so that you can experience the best life you've ever experienced. Because He has it for you. He has the best life. You know, this book, Your Best Life Now? Well, your best life now is discovering what's waiting on you when you get to the other life and what you are to do right here and now for His glory. And you and I need to do that. Fasting many times helps us to accomplish that. Faith, this is the third subpoint. Well, it's actually probably the eighth subpoint, but nonetheless, faith is the next idea. You've got prayer, and you've got fasting, and then you've got faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, listen to this verse, Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. This father had faith that Jesus could do something. He didn't know what. But when Jesus challenged him, do you have faith? He said, absolutely, I have faith. But Lord, help my unbelief. So what is faith? Faith is God's gift to live this life, the life that God has called you to. Faith is the practice of believing that God has, is, and will do what He has said He would do. Think of the word evidence in that Hebrews 11, verse 1. In other words, think of a crime lab. Faith is what is in the test tube of life. Faith is real. It proves what is reality. It is right. It is reliable for what is hoped for or needed. In other words, church, you have a real, right, reliable faith that what you need will be provided. You don't need to wonder. You don't need to hope. You need to have faith. But also, it's the evidence of things not seen. In other words, your faith is the legally binding evidence that Christ can be trusted. The just shall live by faith. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And again, church, you might say, Brother Ben, I just don't have the faith I need. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If I'm loving you as pastor and you come to me and say, Brother Ben, I just don't have enough faith, I'm going to love you enough to tell you, then you need to get your nose in the book. You need to spend more time in God's Word, because God's Word will convince you He's going to do what He plans to do. How about this one? Faith is the fulcrum to live for Jesus. Faith is the leverage to live for Jesus. A disciplined man or woman, boy or girl, who with all their heart disciplines themselves to seek God, is someone that believes that Jesus is who He says He is and He can do what He says He can do. So now we have point number two, service / humility. Now this is dealing with 30 and 37. Let's read some of that here just for a moment. You ready? And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and He would not that any should know it, for He taught His disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him, and after that He is killed, He shall rise the third day. Jesus told the disciples straight up what was fixing to happen in just a few months to a year or two. And they didn't get it. They didn't. And then He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, He asked them, What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. You know why? For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. I'm so glad I'm not like any of those disciples. I'm so glad I don't struggle with pride. Yeah, I'm probably the most humble guy I know. You know, yeah, if we're not careful, that's the actions that we project. But folks, we need to get in those disciples' sandals. Because first of all, under this service / humility, A, hard truths must be wrestled with. Hard truths must be wrestled with. You're going to die? Check it out. People are going to arrest you and kill you? You're Jesus. You've come to deliver us physically from the Romans. Nope. And because they didn't understand it, they didn't ask Him. Church, if you and I are willfully living in ignorance because there's something that we really hope is not true, and so we just refused, you're not going to be used for God's glory very much. If we want to be used, we've got to wrestle with the hard truths. We got to get down there with God's Word, with maybe some study books, maybe some good friends that know a little bit more about God than we do, and we've got to wrestle. And we've got to figure out, what do I believe when it comes to this? Otherwise, you and I are going to constantly be being tripped up on one situation over the other situation. We must wrestle with hard truths. B, pride must be crucified. Lord, You are not blessed to have me on Your team, but I am so grateful that You've seen fit to put me on Your team. C, insecurities must be properly placed out of our responsibility. You're not going to be able to fix your insecurities. Jesus is the only one that's going to fix your insecurities. So you've got to put them out of your place of responsibility. Lord, I can't handle that. That's Yours. These disciples were so worried about who was going to stand under Jesus. None of them deserved that. All of them, however, had been given the power to serve Jesus if they would just do it. You ever heard the phrase, more would get done for the gospel if fewer people cared who got the credit? Amen. Service to God and mankind must be seen as our best way to serve Him. I said this to first service. There's no person in this building that is too good to get up early to come turn on units and lights for the church, including the pastor. And we could just go from there. No person is too good to do the quote-unquote lowest thing to serve this church. But watch this. We got plenty of people to spread it around. Nobody's got to do all of it. Plenty of folks. Lord, what is my place of service? Lastly, acceptance. Look at verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. And Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me, for he that is not against us is on our part. we get this idea that if he's not against us, he's for us. Church, I'm a BMA Baptist. If the Lord allows, it's who and what I'm going to be in till I die. I believe the Lord has called me to pastor this church. I believe the Lord has called me to serve the local association, the Merrimack Association, the State Association, the BMA of Missouri, and the National Association. But watch this. We ain't the only ones preaching for Jesus. We're just not. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. And so we've got to be accepting of those others. It doesn't mean we got to agree with everything they say. Doesn't mean that we even have to put our name with them. We just shouldn't fight them. God hasn't called us to fight them. He's got them. Let's let him handle them. And let's do what we're supposed to do right here, right now. I love what S.M. Lockridge said. He said it in reference to praising. Just because one fella salts his meat a little too much, that doesn't keep me from salting it to my tastes. That's right. And so if you got churches out here doing this, that, and the other, as long as they're preaching the gospel, we're going to leave that to them. Amen, church? We're going to leave it to them. We're going to do it how we feel led and called to do it. Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? Do you have discipline this morning? Do you have discipline in the areas of prayer and fasting and faith? Are you believing God for what he wants to do in your life for his kingdom work? Are you and I humble? You remember what Brad said in his sermon 3 weeks ago? Humble rebellion. About the best rebellion going these days is to go completely opposite of what the world is telling us to do. Completely opposite. Humble rebellion. Are you wrestling with the hard truths? Are you crucifying your pride? Are you giving your insecurities to Christ? Are you serving God and seeing that as the best way to serve him? And are you accepting of others? And that includes in these very walls. Church, yes, we've got all socioeconomic levels. There's not any person that stands closer to the cross than the other. We are all on the same footing. And that should breed acceptance. What's God calling you to do right here, right now, to serve him? Father, we ask you to do your will and way. If there's someone that is here and does not know you and the free pardon of sin, we beg that they will come during this invitation. If someone needs to submit to baptism, we pray that they would come. Someone that needs to join the church, whatever the case may be. Someone that needs to repent of a sin, whatever the case may be. We beg that you would bring them. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. Will you come?